On the other hand, if you were doing, like I said, you're right next to the house and the rain gutters through some leaves, your pattern's already so badly screwed up. What's a little bit more feedline radiation going to do?
Good point. I'll counter with this. What got me to get my license was I discovered the concept of NVIS communications for regional, relatively close non-infrastructure communications on ham radio, and I decided I wanted to do that. And that's what led me here and all the other avenues that there are. So that remains my target. So I guess you could call NVS antenna phased array and of the sort, and having clean, non-vertical phased radiation is a plus in that. So it's a niche, but it's what brought me here.
If you're talking about antenna directionality, what kind of a beamwidth are you talking about? How steerable?
NVIS, direct or nearly direct vertical, straight up. Low mounted dipoles, that type of thing.
And what kind of a beamwidth on the pattern?
I think the ideal of that is like 75 to 90 degrees straight up, bouncing off the F layer, I think it is.
No, so you're saying as narrow a beam as possible? Like if you could have a parabolic antenna sending up a pencil beam straight up, would that be good, or that's not what you're talking about?
Are you familiar with the propagation theory of NVIS, near vertical incident skywave? That's what I'm talking about.
To tell you the truth, no. I've heard a lot about it, but it's never really interested me, so I've never really researched it.
It got me interested because basically the gist of it is it does what a repeater does in the absence of a repeater, basically. Probably a little further distance than that, but it's, the power's out, the batteries are dead, systems are down, EMP, aliens, green mark, whatever the heck. It's a thing that works with just what you take out of your basement.
What frequency are you talking about?
Sounds like it's 40, 80, 160, depending on the time of day, the time of the season, the propagation maps you can utilize to pick the one. From what I understand, 40 will work during the day, 80 at night, 160 throughout the day, 24 hours. In general, it varies. It's a bit of a science to itself, but it's with everything that broke, it still works system.
Yeah, I understand that part. I'm a little confused by 80 meters, which 80 tends to be ground wave, not ionospheric reflection. But, 40 and above is, the ionosphere acts like a mirror under the right conditions. Normally, to work DX, you want to launch your signals out at a certain angle above the horizon, so they give you a good bounce and a nice long range before they come back down to Earth. Whereas with NVIS, apparently you're just using it almost like you're shining a spotlight up at the ceiling to light the entire room. You're using the layer and the troposphere as a mirror to just reflect your signal back down, over a relatively narrow but much wider area than you could do otherwise. That's what I take from what you're saying.
The way I understand it, that is precisely what it is.
All right, so you just want a narrow beam going straight up. And basically, the way you have to do that is to put together some fairly fancy antennas, and that becomes a labor of love unto itself that makes, a 40-meter dipole pale in comparison. A lot of work, and without proper ways to test it, which is basically an antenna range, I think it's very difficult, and I do have to add that personally, it doesn't raise my pulse one iota, but, I'm ready to lend you any help I can, but what I'm afraid of, you're doing directional antennas like that, you need an antenna test range, you don't know what you're doing, and I'm afraid that doing that by cut and try would be more frustrating than anything else.
Well, it's certainly could be. There are people that do it, but they seem to guard their techniques a bit, so learning it is a little bit, you got to piece it together, it sounds like. It sounds like it has its roots in military applications. It sounds like Rommel in the Second World War used it in North Africa on his tanks. You can look at pictures of the antennas that utilize that technique. It was probably a big piece of his success in North Africa. And it was used in Vietnam. It's had military applications at certain times in theaters in the past. And I believe some of the Ares races and stuff like that, some of those organizations use it for regional communications. So it's done. It's done fairly simply, from what I understand, because they use a low dipole that has low gain, but it has very low noise. So that's a part of the picture too, from what I understand.
Well, I've been around the block a few times on military gear, and I've never heard of it in that application, although what you're saying does make a degree of sense. I can see some specific applications for it. But you are one of quite a number of acquaintances of mine who are absolutely obsessed with it. And I have to tell you, I really can't figure out what the attraction is. I mean, what makes it so specific, helpful over other things? I'm not hearing anything, well, I need it because of such and such. To be a thing of fascination. Nobody will tell you what's going on. I think it's incredibly frustrating to do without millions of dollars worth of test equipment. I have to say, I'm not seeing where the attraction is.
All right, fair enough. I guess what intrigued me about it was it seemed to have applications for whether a sun solar event that has which apparently we've had in the past, but it's wiped out every electrical, I think it was telegraph system at the time, from a solar event, or an attack of EMP origin, or just our electric grid breaks down. All this stuff that we do goes out the window over time. Even the repeaters with generators run out of fuel, and you need to find where who's got the baby formula, or the milk, or the bowl for bread, and along an area roughly the size of what, you know, these repeaters cover. And if they're down, you're shit out of luck to kind of collaborate with friends.
Yeah, but without a network of friends, I'm not sure of its utility. Now I'm afraid all of your friends are going to tell you the same thing. I can't find any of this stuff. I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer. I apologize.
Fair enough. I guess a historical reference that I use. My wife's grandfather was in Norway during the German occupation of World War II, and I have an aluminum can that he used to use to he would catch fish. He would get on his bicycle with his fish wrapped in the newspaper, stuffed in his jacket in this aluminum can. He'd ride up to the farm further up in the thing, and he'd trade the fish for some milk to bring back to his kids so they would survive. And a network of people in a geographical area can get through most hardships. And I don't know if we're going to have those hardships, but we may.
Yeah, I hear your point, but I'm not sure where NVIS would have helped him. But so let me guess. He wasn't a big fan of one Big Kun Quisling. I'm hearing silence. Is that intentional?
I said of who? Who wasn't he a big fan of?
Vidkun. VIDKUN. Quisling. QUISLING.
I don't know the name, but I have a feeling I know the reference, but I don't know it.
In 1940, as I understand, now remember, I wasn't there, of course. I wasn't anywhere in 1940, but I've never been in Norway, let alone then, but Vidkun Quisling was an up-and-coming politician in Norway and ran for the presidency to fight the Nazis to the last Norwegians, because they were fully expected to invade. As soon as he got into power, he signed a treaty with Hitler that allowed them to become a German satellite. He was so popular that as soon as the war ended, He was taken out, tried, and shot.
I didn't know that story, but it sounds like the right way to deal with that kind of situation to me. No, he would not have been a fan. I understand, among other things of the story, part of that I just learned was that the great-grandfather was in some sort of resistance group in Norway at the time and died in that endeavor, and that the grandfather was quietly in support of that stuff and had a Grundfos or a Grundig receiver radio at the time. And it's, I'm trying to find out what radio it was, because it's a piece of family history that I would love to get an example of.
Understand your point. No, if you ever heard the term Quisling, the traitor, that's where it comes from.
I didn't know that. I will definitely dig into that one. That's a great story.
Look up Quisling on Wikipedia. It's all there.
I definitely will.
No, but I understand your point, but look, if this is your passion, pursue your passion. Fortunately, I cannot help you with that as much as I can with the other stuff, and apparently no one else is bending over backwards to do so either.
Well, there's a leadership adage, lead, follow, or get out of the way. It sounds like I'll be in the lead category of this one.
I am just warning you, if you try to use any kind of a complicated, focused antenna beam without the proper way of measuring it, I think you're in for a lot of frustration. Which brings up a totally unrelated, but far more related than you realize, question. Here's a stupid quiz. What did Wilbur and Orville Wright invent?
They call it an aeroplane? I forget exactly. They invented, I know the story well, but you're getting at a question that I'm not quite, you got me for the answer. They invented the airplane, but I don't know if they called it that.
Yes, they did, but you are right. This is a trick question. They invented the wind tunnel. So we say, what's that got to do with? No. The answer is, no wind tunnel, no airplane.
Gotcha. Measure the results of your experiment is what you're saying.
Yeah, how long does it take to build a life-size working model of an airplane? And then assuming you survive the inevitable crash, how long does it take you to tweak it and try it plan number two? With a wind tunnel, you build a foot-long model, take your data, tweak it, a few days to a week later, you have another model to try that one, and you can progress 100 times faster.
Good point.
So did they invent the airplane? Yeah. But the reason they invented the airplane is because they invented the wind tunnel, which made the airplane almost inevitable.
That's a very interesting analysis. I will definitely remember that for many applications.
On the other hand, the next 10 years did not do as well for them, because the reason the United States never had a U.S. plane in World War I was because of their obsession with zealously guarding their existing patents and not upgrading.
Oh, there's a lot of stories about that in the history of the country and in other countries, but certainly ours.
Yeah, because what happened was their patents didn't apply overseas, so everybody else built on their patents, but they fought tooth and nail to make sure nobody in this country would. So then when World War I came around, everybody but us had planes.
Wow. That's telling.
So, like so many things in life, it's a mixed bag. Some good, some bad.
No doubt.
All right, I think I've caused enough chaos for one evening.
I'm chuckling to myself. I'm no spring chicken. I got a few years under my belt, but probably you've been hamming as long as I've been alive. And I'm chuckling at the joke of the old bull and the young bull at the top of the hill, which we'll leave for another moment. But you probably know the joke. Thanks for your insight tonight. It's been very interesting. Ed, have a good night. KD2 Victor Hotel Delta 73 is good night.
Okay, yes, I most definitely do know that joke. And I'm not shy about it. I will tell you, I was in high school. It was 1962 when I got my antiquity novice and technician licenses that were able to be held concurrently. 63, I got my general, and it took me till 75 to get my extra.
In 64, I shot out of a rocket ship that sat in my father's pants. Like I said, you've been doing this a long time. I've crushed the old electronics knowledge. That wasn't very good when I had it, and I'm brand new with this shit.
Suggestion, what's your language? I don't care, some people. Let me put it this way. I've spent my life doing this stuff. Actually, you know what? Funny story. Let me drop. I was in high school. I did not know any hams. And this was the time when they were doing the, you know, missile launches like John Glenn and all that stuff. And they had a rule. I mean, they had these newfangled transistor radios that if there was a launch, they would allow you to listen to school in class. And a kid who I hardly knew was sitting near me, and a couple of kids had radios, but what he had was he had an earplug plugged into a pack of Marlboros. When I had a chance, I said, what the hell is that about? And he showed me how he saw an article in Radio Electronics Magazine of how to build an AM radio, no speaker, you had to use an earphone, that was written in a crush-proof cigarette box. I was absolutely blown away. I got a copy of the magazine, I built it up, I played with it. That was the start of a lifetime in electronics.
Wait, that's a great story. I dabbled in it in the 80s, in my youth, with similar stuff, CB, things like that. I got involved in a career as an electronics technician, but it failed. My spelling and my math suck, so I don't think I could ever do Morse code, and the math, just the career didn't work. So I went in a different direction, and it worked out quite well, so I'm back revisiting an old hobby.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Listen, all go, we all go in directions that sometimes things turn out in a way that we never, ever, ever in a million years would have predicted. My son ended up in a way that if you had told me this is what your son will end up doing, I would have you committed, and yet it has worked out fantastically. This is actually the job he was born for.
I find myself in a similar situation.
Doesn't get better than that. Don't worry about the blind alleys.
You'll enjoy this observation. Both of my sons do a number of things way better than I do. Things that I either showed them or taught them or led them to or whatever. So the conundrum is, does that make me a complete success or a complete failure? And I know your answer to it, and I don't need an answer. It's an interesting thing to think about.
No, the answer is blatantly obvious. They wouldn't know things you don't know if you hadn't mentored them so they could pass you. They're standing on your shoulders. There's an old adage. The reason I can see further than my ancestors, because I'm standing on their shoulders. That's what your son should think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. And it's definitely there's a strong element of scouting in them and what you're speaking of and the whole philosophy we speak of at the moment.
Yes, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Been there, done that. I mean, it's the exact same thing. Only I suspect, due to our age difference, my son is a little further along than yours.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. My younger guy just got his first job out of college. He starts next week. So, yeah, I'm a little behind you.
Well, my son spent 5 years on a blind alley before he blundered into this one.
that's tough. But just a lot of people go through worse. And they get a basket weaving degree and want to help the world and realize things are different than that.
Oh, no. There's no basket weaving degree here. Let me say the following. When you decide to run away from home and join the Navy with a master's degree in physics, you're not going to be swabbing desks.
Got it. Enough said. I got it.
And Admiral Caldwell will agree with me.
I understand completely. That's as much of a breach of confidence as you can do.
And I'm not just throwing out that name. There is an Admiral Caldwell who personally knows my son.
Awesome. That's great stuff.
And he gets to argue with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
He's, you know, Montauk Jamborees and whatnot over the years. It sounds like we may have crossed paths.
Say that again, please.
It sounds like we may have crossed paths in the scouting world at some point in the past, out east in the Long Island.
Have you ever been affiliated with the Boy Scouts in Nassau County specifically?
Oh, just out of, actually, Nassau was a kid years ago, but Cub Scouts, that was a long time ago. Mostly Suffolk.
As a kid and a young adult, I was in the city, but then I was off for years, and then my son and I joined Cub Scouts at the time in Nassau County in 93, and I've been active in Nassau County Boy Scouting specifically ever since, and I know virtually nobody in Suffolk.
Roger. I got involved in it in Massapequa area when I was young, and then we moved to Suffolk. I got, did it here a little bit at the Boy Scouts, and but it wasn't until my kids got involved that I got really engaged, and it was neat. It was I learned a lot about a lot of things.
Do the words forward tank, shift, or anti-yara mean anything to you?
Shift does.
Wading River Road, not too far from Bating Hollow.
Right.
I'm there all the time. Not Antiora, that's the Nassau County Scouts' own camp up in the Catskills. I was there a couple of weeks ago.
Nice, nice. I've been to 10 Mile River in Yagoo, and one of the most memorable things I did was the thing out east, the jamboree out east where the Montauk troops got the teepee and the dumpster that you scuba dive in and all that stuff. It was fun stuff.
By the way, just to keep this legal, WB2EAB. No, I never did that. See, I haven't done everything.
KD2VHD. No, none of us have, but we know somebody that has. Well, not everything, but each thing.
Oh, yeah. If you want to put together a team, I guess we cover all the bases, but no one does everything alone. No man is an island.
No. Not at all. I had an interesting exit out of Scouts. My youngest son was a bit of a maverick, and he started to curry more favor with the boss and the Scouts than with Dad, and I had to beg out so I could keep my credentials as Dad, and it was a sticky situation, but we got through it. Eventually it worked out really well, but I wound up having less involvement with Scouts than I would have liked to have in the last few years, but it was the right move. But he continued, and I backed away and let him progress, and it was the right move.
I'm glad it worked out for the best. No, my son and I never had explored that one. Hey, that's just something we haven't explored. But, no, it made him in large part what he is today. And I think there's one reason why I'm still doing it. Because you take these sniveling little brats who come in, and you turn them into fine men.
somebody's got to build men. Nobody else is doing it, and they've tried to kill the program. Apparently, from what you're saying, it's not dead yet, but they're trying.
What you're reading about in the papers has had zero impact with what I have seen. And I'll tell you why. About 30 years ago, and there's a good chance you saw some of this, they changed all of the rules. Stuff like 2D leadership and all that stuff, youth protection training. They went through a whole pile of stuff to make sure that crap never happens again, and it seems to have worked magnificently. So what you're reading about in the papers is all stuff from 50 years ago, and the perps are long dead.
I wasn't referring to that type of stuff, and I agree with you. I think they did a good job sorting that out. I just mean the demasculinization, anything, you know. You want to bring love into the Boy Scouts, you're missing the point. You know, you got to build men. It's not about being cozy. It's about doing stuff. And they want to, you know, this inclusive crap, and it's trying to talk about. Has Scouts not been the most inclusive organization ever that you've ever seen?
You know, there are girls now.
Well, that's the stuff I mean, you know. It's like, stop. You got enough distractions. You shoot the damn rifle, to tie the knot. Don't worry about the girls. Go home and do this.
I have to respectfully disagree with you. It's much better than you're afraid. I have found you can do both. They are compatible. Absolutely. And the number one shotgun shooter going for the shotgun merit badge the week that I was at Ontiora helping out on the shooting ranges was an absolutely beautiful young lady with perfectly made hair and light makeup, and she was one macho dude on the shotgun range.
That's funny. I was at the Yapak range a couple weeks ago, and the last I was shooting was sight to behold, let's just put it as that. I have no qualms about anybody's shooting ability, but again, there's a difference between building men and building women.
Oh, yeah, I agree, and there is a place, but I'm saying the differences, the areas where it doesn't apply, I have found to be much, much smaller. There are women going into close combat now. The world has changed. And it's when done right, I have had no problem doing both. I mean, no, I'm a certified range safety officer. I teach the Boy Scouts marksmanship. I spend a lot of time on the range. And it's 50% hard-ass drill sergeant and 50% tender, nurturing trainer.
Thanks, Dan, no doubt. One of the most astounding things I ever saw in Scouts was there was a guy, it was a place, I can't think of the name of the camp. It closed recently. They had some problems and it closed. But the range instructor was a guy, he looked to be that he was, he had some defects from probably thalidomide or something like that. He was pretty bent up. He was rough shape, and he could hardly hear. Spoke like that. But oh my God, he did such an amazing job with the boys at the range, and I learned so much about people, much of shooting by watching his interactions. It was one of the greatest experiences I've had in my life.
Yes, that's my point exactly. So I'm just saying that I'm finding that there is very little to what you're saying. No, what it is, girls who sign up are the ones who will rip your head off when you say within. Some of them are breathtakingly beautiful young ladies. It's not like all, you know, the top boys who have, like, you know, no real appeal to their peer boys. It's a mixed bag, and it seems to work out very well. I am pleasantly surprised how well it's been working out.
Well, that's good to hear. It's heartening. If that's the case, it's one of the few, if any, institutions that are still functioning.
And like you said, it hasn't been easy, but everybody takes turns taking pot shots at them. The big thing a few years ago was gays. My comment was, that's people out in Texas making big fuss. You know, the Boy Scout leadership, you know, the head office of Boy Scouts of America moved out to Texas some years ago. And no, around here, there is one commandment for adult leaders. Thou shalt not embarrass thyself in front of the boys. Period. End of discussion.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And that's a tough topic, but my... I had a rule in the fire service when I was in that game. Love don't belong in the firehouse. And it don't belong in Boy Scouts. Do your business somewhere else.
I have to disagree with that philosophy. Maybe someday you'll come by and I can show it to you in action.
I would enjoy that.
I find that is a counterproductive approach. If it ever worked, and I'm not sure it did, it certainly doesn't now, that I found you can create some real macho dudes with that. It's not necessary to play those games. And if anything, I have found most of those games tend to be carried to extremes and just become dysfunctional.
Oh, I maybe you misunderstand. There's so much of the content that program and other programs, but that program in particular, brings to the table are full and complete without involving other aspects of social behavior. They just got enough business to attend to without worrying about, you know, your dating practices. And I'm not I'm talking about it by excluding. I mean, I've seen that... larger than normal percent of graduates of the program do have alternate persuasions, but you try your best to make good citizens out of people, and often you have a good success rate.
I have been very pleased of the products I have helped create. I am proud of almost all of them. There's an exception here or there, but if anything, they tend to have not learned the lesson about not being, overly macho. I've been very proud of it. I have not seen what you're worried about.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I've been out of the game a couple of years now, and it's very good to hear. It's disheartening.
Well, let me part with this comment. When the boys come into Boy Scouting at 10 and a half or 11, they have absolutely no use for that old man over there, standing over there, they have no use for him whatsoever. But by the time they're starting high school, they're amazed how quickly he's learned. By the time they're juniors, they're asking me which colleges they should apply to.
That's cool. I got to have a pretty neat role like that when I was in the game, and when you run into them, it's nice to be remembered in a positive way. I've got to enjoy that from my scouting career and my professional career. Not too many people get that kind of feedback in the aftermath. It's nice to have.
Well, I'm just saying. I remember a couple of years ago, at one event at Schiff Scout Reservation, for a couple of the older boys and I, the boys go around and do different little, competitions, and we were doing fire building competition, and it was, up and down, feast or famine, and the quiet, we were talking about the colleges they were applying to, the majors they were interested in, stuff like that. Right now, they're all in college and doing very well.
Excellent. I didn't realize until my own son had gone to college what a preparation it was. I mean, college campus is a Boy Scout camp, just bigger tents.
Do you have any idea how many people I have said that to?
Not too many people realize it, even who have done the program. They just don't realize it.
I mean, when a kid says, all right, I have to go to my 9 a.m. class, and I walk off, you know, in pairs, don't walk alone, and go off to the 9 o'clock class, I said, this reminds me of college.
Yeah, and if you can do it in the woods without brushing your teeth, you can probably do it in a dorm.
Yeah, but we try to get them to brush their teeth.
Try is the operative word, right?
I always feel better when they enroll in some swimming program, so at least they'll immerse the body in water sometime during their week at summer camp.
Agreed. No doubt about it. You got to get that stink off somehow.
Although, to tell you the truth, the shower situations in summer camps now are a lot better than you remember. You actually have privacy.
It does lead to better accomplishing the task better, let's put it that way.
Better hygiene, perhaps.
No doubt.
Alright, it's midnight. I'm about to turn into a pumpkin. Besides, I'm running an HT with batteries to a mobile amplifier powered off of a power supply on the deck. And I think my HT is about to run down.
That's great. I'm running a hand-me-down X-ray machine 12-volt battery in an ammo box in the garage.
Everybody does it differently.
As it should be. I had great talking to you. I look forward to meeting you in person. Have a good night. This is Jim, KD2BHD, out. 73s.
All right, listen. Things are starting to get back to some semblance of normal, and if station we don't blow it, I'm sure Linemark will be going back to face-to-face meetings more regularly, and I'm sure we'll get a chance there.
So far, I've been an interloper. I haven't joined, but it's definitely a thought. Any recommendations?
What area do you live in?
By Patrick Sable over there.
I would recommend, it's not that much money, to join Linemark, because basically this is the number one repeater in the area for use, period, end of discussion. However, Great South Bay, which...
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2... Linemark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
thing?
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the
W2VL.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the
W2WLQ listening. W2WLQ listening.
W2VL.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL.
This is N2YTD listening.
W2.
Is this the of the Long Island Amateur Radio Club? This is N2YTD. Am I on to? This is N2YTD on Echolink.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the
W2.
Katy to OGB Mobile, Sunrise westbound.
This is Katy. This is Katy to UDU listening.
KD2UDU, KD2OGB Mobile, how you doing?
Greg, how you doing? You on your way to work?
Nah, I don't really want to do any overtime until I can get this root canal solved. Unfortunately, I lost the nerve in my second to last tooth on the top to the right. I've got Motrin trying to hold it back, but it's trying to fight it, so I'm trying to take it slow. I'm on my way to Hicksville. I gotta go to the lovely prison to drop something off. And then I am going to go to New Hyde Park to see some friends.
Roger, yeah, there's nothing worse than dental pain. For an episode 2 weeks ago, where my dentist, when he was doing a filling, and he actually nicked my tongue. And I didn't realize because I was numb, and I was pain for like over a week. I had to go on antibiotics and everything.
You should have went after him for that, because even though it was an accident and you can prove that they did nip your tongue and they didn't tell you, you should be able to go after them for that and get a little bit of a claim for that, I guess.
Yeah, well, I have sort of a relationship. He's kind of related to me through marriage. So, you know, I think he looks the other way for a lot of the fees that I have to pay and all that. So I wouldn't do that to him. But, I suppose I could have filed a claim.
If that was me, I'd totally do that because that's not right at all. And come on, what's with all this traffic? just want to get to the Wausau Parkway. Whatever. I'm there in about a mile, so it's not too bad, but I'm probably suggesting there's an accident, or there's probably road work, which I don't understand why you would do it in the middle of the daytime, and that's how you cause more congestion. Do it at nighttime when there's nobody, and then it's not a problem.
And there's not as much heat or pleasurable to do it at night. I think normally the city does most of their road work at night, isn't that correct?
No, I've seen them doing it during the daytime when I worked west side. It's not pretty at all. So, road work to exit 28 to 15, left lane closed. Gee, that's the reason why everybody's slowing down. At least it's beyond the Meadowbrook Parkway, so I don't have to really worry. Except that's not what I'm taking. I'm taking the Wausau Parkway, so I can get to Hicksville.
Quite a few exits, 28 to 15, wow.
No, 20 to 15, that's where the road work is. And again, that's how you congest traffic that way. But what do you do? It's these construction workers and contractors. They do whatever the heck they want to please. And it doesn't really amuse me much, but honestly, it just really frustrates all of us. Especially when it's in the middle of rush hour. Since they can't do it during rush hour, that's how you really piss people off.
Yeah, rush hour would be a... Can't even say the word.
Tiny words are really fine, but I usually try to keep it reasonable if I'm expressing, like, my anger, but keeping it reasonable, that's one thing. But if you're actually saying actual profane, then no, that's not allowed.
Roger that. That's why I didn't say it.
Yep. So, I'm on the Wausau Parkway now, two exits to Old Country Road, and I'll be in Hicksville in about 5 minutes. I gotta wait another 10, though, to take the Penn Station train to Hillside, as I call it, the prison. I gotta drop off my old parking permit there so I can get my new one, because apparently they won't give me the new one until I drop off my old one. Why don't you just give me the new one, and then I'll drop off my old one? But nope, they want to do it their way.
What happens if you get a ticket for parking while you're giving them the old permit?
You can put your vest in the window or just put a temporary sign in. I did that when I switched my Excelsior plates to ham plates, and nobody's bothered me ever since.
That's good.
Plus, they actually say you normally would bring the plates back. Well, it turns out when I filed the application for my ham plates, what I actually did, which is usually what you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to destroy the plates. Like, cut them into a million pieces, deface them with permanent marker. That's usually how you're supposed to dispose of it. I mean, there are actual shredders out there that can destroy, really anything, but you gotta be careful, because those things will destroy your hand as well. They are probably the most dangerous machines you'll ever see. If you go on YouTube and look up shredder that can eat anything, you'll be surprised with what it can chew. Anything.
Chew. Yeah, I think I've seen videos of shredders like that in scrap yards. You know, they know how to shred scrap metal and just fill up bins full of it.
Oh, no, not those. I'm talking about the shredders that are like... maybe like the size of like a human itself, and they're like big and wide, and they have these blades that move so incredibly fast, they will eat anything you put into it. It's that scary.
Yeah, I would stay far away from one of those.
Yep. That's another reason why I'd rather just manually destroy or physically destroy the plates. Man, my slurring is terrible today. Probably because of my tooth, but oh well. So, what else are you doing today? You running around or what?
No, Craig, I'm on lunch right now. I'm back on day shift. I'm very upset because they reinstituted the mandatory mask wearing here. So we had less than a month. You know, I was fully vaccinated back in May. And they eased up the restrictions like less than a month ago, and now Now we're back to wearing masks again, and I rebelled. I was one of the last ones to put one on, and the only option was either put it on or go home.
I am not wearing my mask on the train, nor when I enter the building, because everybody knows as soon as they're fully vaccinated, they don't need it anymore. This is nothing but control, honestly. I can't take it anymore. I mean, if you're in a lot of people in a building, that's one thing, but if I'm by myself, there is no reason to have a mask on, because more and more people are starting to not wear their masks on the train. And guess what? The train crews could care less. KD2UDU, KD2OGB Mobile, Wantagh Parkway, northbound.
KD2UDU, I agree, Craig. It's they want us living in fear, so we don't question their backhanded political stuff. They just want us to, you know, blindly follow orders. Sickening, it really is, and I'm getting fed up with it also.
And plus, I'm not even planning on wearing my pass when I go in the building, since I'm just going to be in and out. I'm just dropping off my pass. So, about another 3 minutes and I should be in Hicksville. I'm just about to take W2E now, so I'm going to hop off. You take care, 7-3s. KD2UDU, KD2OGB Mobile, on Old Country Road, on the way to Hicksville.
X73, I hope your tooth pain goes away. You know, keep up with the Advil. You know, combine the Advil with one Tylenol. That was a trick that my dentist taught me, and it works pretty well. It'll definitely keep that pain under control. So 7-3, this is KD2UDU, and I'll be standing by.
On list.
Yeah, Sam, I'm here. This is KD2UDU.
All right, my brother. Have a nice lunch. So how was your day yesterday?
It was quiet. I actually, I was working on the sprinklers, and I wound up calling somebody to repair the lines. I had a break, actually two breaks, in the sprinkler line, so he came over and banged that out. And other than that, it was a pretty quiet day. It was, you know, I needed to rest for Saturday. I overdid it.
Yeah, I know. I told you. You on the boat?
I should have, because it was beautiful. You know, we went and drank coffee over by the lighthouse. There's a lighthouse in Oldfield that overlooks, it's high up on the bluff, so you can overlook the sound and you can see Connecticut. And we were watching a bunch of sailboats sail out there. But, you know, I didn't, I had other plans, you know, I just wanted to rest.
Yeah, did they let you go up in the lighthouse?
I heard that they used to, but now they use the lighthouse as an auxiliary post for police, so they don't let you up there anymore. But I spoke to some guys that were doing Morse code from the parking lot. They had set up, and they were activating the lighthouse, and they said that when it was, you know, years ago when it was just a lighthouse keeper, they would let them go up inside the lighthouse, but no more.
Yeah, what a place to come from, man. You can hit anywhere. Everything is quiet here. I had a quiet day today. My daughter went to Bear Mountain, and she said she went hike up the trail. She said her legs are killing her. Pretty a steep hike. That's why I went a radio up there. I told her to take mine. She said, no way, I'm not carrying that. A battery pack. Antenna. But she said she did see somebody up there, but she walked up and the steps are like destroyed.
I haven't been there yet. Mike and Steven are actually near there today, or they were supposed to be going to Nyack Beach, or something like that. That's what Mike had told me yesterday. He wanted to know if I wanted to go. I'm like, Mike, I gotta work. I can't.
Maybe to the next day. He wouldn't have made it back to work in time either way. Niagara's a long ride, you know. I used to go up there, South Camp, Niagara, New York, at 10 Mile River Camp. That is a long...
Yeah, I agree. I just didn't feel like making a road trip. You know, I just don't have the time to do that kind of stuff. You know, if it was a local thing, I would do that, but travel that far, I just can't do that yet.
I understand. You don't have to explain it to me. I know I used to do Jim Avis. I used to operate a mobile van with an engine analyzer, and I used to go and play a car would break down, and they wouldn't want to panic. Call in, you know, anywhere like that, get the car started. Like where we used to sit, they used to have a mail slot. Now, at one time we used to lease cars, and then you give it back to the leaser and get another car. And then they got the sales slot. Which down there, that's what I was told.
So if you couldn't start it, could you tow it, or you had to send a tow truck?
Yeah, if they had more than one car down, you know, like East Bear, or like, or a friend, I would go. Like, I used to go to Bridgeport, and they had like 20 cars out, you know, engine-wise, making any repairs, engine. I was good. And I'd get those cars out, so when they had a car, they had a friend out.
Hey, that's good, man.
Yeah, I did diagnostic work, you know, after repair, and then I... manager. I only stayed manager for a year, Wayne, because it didn't pay. Maybe weekends. Damn, we got a problem. Can you come in? And I wasn't getting paid. I was just getting a salary. I said to him, I said, Jim, I'm going to come back in the union. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, I got a free call.
Yeah, they call you anytime. Yeah, that's the problem. Not punching the clock. You don't get the...
Yeah, but she said, Bear Mountain was nice. She said, got up there, you could see the world. So that was a good part. All right, but I'm glad to see you all right. You gonna tell me what gifts you got?
I just got a clothes, mainly clothes. My youngest came over. She said, oh, I don't want gifts. Get us gifts. Yeah, I just want to see everybody. I don't need anything.
Me too. I don't need a gift. I don't need another set of customers. And either it don't fit right or, you know, you don't want to tell them that, come see me, you know. And I always had a good time. Or bring a plate. I don't like cook it over. Yeah, no, I didn't like gifts either no more. Not since I was a little. Hey, Wayne, I'm going to try to get something to eat too. And it's nice talking to you. And, I did okay again on the pony. Wayne, I'm just lucky this weekend, man. I'm up to $200.
Oh, on the Texas track or up in Saratoga?
No, Maryland. Pinto, INT something. They pay good money, you know. I went online and I said, what track pay the most money on the odds? And they gave me that, Gulfstream, Saratoga, believe it or not, Belmont, and then they had Plimico, that's the name, Plimico, in Maryland. So I said, let me look. And they usually run about six horses a race, sometimes eight. But it's easy for me to clam them down. So I picked the best horse that they read about, you know, I get a printout. It's $5 because they give you top three of each race. I'll pick the top one, and I will combine it with the other five. Sometimes you only get like 10 in one race, I got $12 back. Then I hit the big one, and one long shot came in. Oh, that's what I was thinking about, was Nola, and that paid $179.
Yeah, Pimlico is where the Preakness is run, the second leg of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, that's a nice track. I looked it up, man, that's nice. Yeah. And they sometimes have the big races there. Hanging out with them, usually I always go golfing around with Aqueduct and stuff. And then, and have used to pay money. Texas and Georgia, you know, federal trackers and via casino pay money. Have used to pay. I just been having fun, you know. Like I said, I don't bet a lot. Maybe $24 at the most. Exacto or triple.
Yeah. Yeah, the wind plays a show. A lot of times doesn't pay that well unless it's a long shot. I'm the same way, Sam. Mainly exactors. I did do good with the pick three, though, where you picked the winner of three consecutive races. I was lucky with that.
Yep, I'm going to start doing that, Wayne. Thanks for telling me. Yeah, that's good. You can bet. See what's not bad with this sheet I get from Racing Store, Hamptown. And they give you three tops. They're really good. Out of 100 races, they hit at least five all the time, at least. And they have one place to go box on each race. So I just take those three and bet $12 and do the triple 12 for hoping he's more than that. But you're right. That three race really pays.
Yeah, it's actually easier, I think, to pick the winner than pick an exacto or a triple.
Yeah, I just take it three in boxes, you know. Somebody don't do what I do, $6.50. And I box the $3 and told if they can. Almost all the time, race comes down at least 50 cents.
Damn. I guess I gotta start doing that too.
Yeah, that's a good way. I'm glad you mentioned it today. I'm gonna do $6. In the long run, it don't pay a lot, but I'm getting something back, and I'm having a good time. No $10 on each quarter. I go triple dip, and the five really pays more. I'm going to do the triple, and I'm going to bet three.
I think...
Okay, Wayne, nice talking to you. Put it on your phone. You know, those teams are good at it. They're good. And they give you good experts. Four good operators is the best thing. And at least you're not trying to...
Hard to go into a track cold where I don't know any of the jockeys. I don't know.
Yeah, and any of it, if they come back up again, then you know. All right, Wayne, enjoy your lunch, man. Oh, it's nice talking to you now. And watch, Wayne, just be careful with your body. It doesn't pay anymore, you know? Yeah. Every time, if you come back on you, you know, the other day I just did exercise here in the house, and today I'm really hurting. And I was just doing running in place, you know, oh my God, my leg is hurting. It takes time for me to get back. But take care of yourself, and it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Sam, you take care too. Yeah. About time I go in, anyway. So this is KD2UDU, and I'll be clear on your final.
Thank you for picking me up, Wayne, and you take care of yourself.
W2OSR.
W2.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2VL. W2VL. W2.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
GB Mobile, Hicksville.
Network analyzers, WACDL, I'll be right back.
Ah, you are lurking in the background. Okay, I'm here.
WHCDL. I was at a friend's last night, and I had a radio with me. I wanted to show him, and when I turned on the repeater, and I heard you talking about network analyzers. So I had to listen to it.
Oh, that must have been horrible. You're going to show it off to a friend, and you find me. Oh my God, how terrible.
Well, yeah. It's good. And, a network analyzer, as you know, is an interesting piece of equipment. You can do a lot with it. And it depends. And if you know how to read a Smith chart, you could either have a vector network analyzer or a scalar network analyzer. One that does both. As you know, I'm just pulling into the gas station here. I'll be right back.
Okie doke, WB2EAD, patiently waiting. Andy, if you can hear me, I'll be out of the car for 2 minutes. WB2EAD, be right back. WA2CDL, WB2EAV, I'm back. Are you Andy?
Yeah, actually I just got back in the car. I was getting gas. I'm only going to be on for about another 2 minutes and I got my stop. How are you doing, WA2CDL?
Listen, I have a very real question for you, okay?
Well, it could be real or it could be fake. But I'll try the real one.
I'm serious. I want your more recent experience with taking apart new rigs. The rig I'm talking to you on is something like 6 months old. It has a tiny little cooling fan on the back. Now, I'm not sure if it's supposed to go on whenever you transmit or when it overheats or what, but it doesn't seem to be ever going on, even when the rig starts getting hot and going fluky. I am sure I can fix it, but I'm leery about opening up the rig. Afraid maybe these things are virtually hermetically sealed these days.
What does the book say in regard to the fan operation?
That's an interesting point. I'm not sure if I have the book, but I'm sure I can look it up on the internet and see what it says. That might be a good help right there.
I would suspect the fan operates through a thermostat, which senses the temperature, and it's not on all the time. But I could be wrong. I don't know. On these new rigs, I have no idea myself. So the way I find out is just by asking that question that I just asked you. I look in the book, and I see what the book says is the specification for the fan. So that's what I would do.
But the big question is, should I feel comfortable opening up the cover from the rig? Because I haven't opened up the covers on any of the newer rigs lately, and all the surface mount stuff, I'm worried they're just like virtually, unmaintainable.
Which rig is this? What's the make and model?
I have it right here. Yaesu FTM3100. It's a 50-watt, 2-meter only mobile rig.
Yeah, I have the FTM dual band. I forgot the model number of it. No, you shouldn't have any trouble with opening it up. Take the cover off and look. And it should not be hard to figure out how to get to the fan. See where the fan is plugged into the circuit board. But that may not tell you anything. You're just going to see two wires, probably red and black, going to a fan, and then going to a little miniature Molex white plug, which plugs into the main board, or whatever board it's plugged into. So, I don't know that's going to tell you anything other than reading the book and seeing how the fan's supposed to go on. You can always, if you're curious to see if the fan is working, you can always take a heat gun, turn the radio on, don't transmit, just take a heat gun, and use the heat gun to raise its temperature on the circuit board, wherever the thermostat is located, and or near the final section, and see if the fan comes on at all. Technically, it should come on if it changes temperature to call for the fan.
82AKX, wouldn't it be easy just to look at the schematic?
Does Yaesu put out the schematic?
Google it and see if you can find the wiring diagram. It might tell you there's a thermodisc, and the thermodisc might have a temperature reading on it. But I got a question to Andy. Andy, quick question for Sunday. Are you hiding the transmitter?
Yes.
I want to know if I need to bring my stuff. All right, I'll let you guys continue on. Have fun, Ed.
All right, let me be clear on a couple of points. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The real question I was asking Andy is not the troubleshooting. I just wanted him to tell me he's opened up more modern rigs than I have. Am I opening up Pandora's box if I open up the rigs to take a look at it? And he said no, so I'm sure I can take it from there. Well, these are excellent suggestions. That's really not where I was coming from. And yeah, you know what? I'm going to look up the manual on the internet. If I can find the schematic, so much the better.
Okay. Yeah, it should be easy to take the covers off. And some of these rigs, there's only one cover. The circuit board, sometimes there's only one circuit board, and it's screwed down to the whole frame, heatsink, chassis, whatever you want to call it, and that's it. And it just when you take the screws out, then you can pull the circuit board out. But just mentioning that. So this schematic is was something else I wanted to mention. John mentioned it first also. So I'll take the cover off and look, but I don't think it'll tell you anything.
If nothing else, I can put 12 volts across the fan and see if the problem is the fan or the drive.
Oh, the fan never comes on, is that right?
Yes, but when I blow on it, it does freewheel. So it could be, it's not, you know, seized, but the winding could be open. It just needs so much dead weight. Well, it's not much dead weight. It's like an inch and a half puffin fans.
Did you buy this radio new?
Brand new about 6 months ago.
Did the fan ever work since you bought it?
I bought it in the dead of winter. It wasn't worth the bother of testing. What happened was, the other day, I was talking and the transmitter was cutting off on me in the middle of a transmission, and the degree was as hot as blazes, and the fan wasn't turning. So the thing, what happened is the transmitter has some kind of a thermal override in case the fan doesn't work, and it was shutting off my transmitter.
That doesn't sound good. By the way, you described that. All right. Okay, well, yeah, under those conditions, yeah, put 12 volts on the, I'm assuming it's 12 volts. Unplug the fan connector and put 12 volts directly onto the fan to see if the fan is working. Maybe it never worked. It's possible.
Yeah, like I said, in the dead of winter, overheating in the finals was the last of my problems.
Yeah, I got that. Yep. Okay. Yeah, so try that. And if the fan does work under those conditions, then you'll have to look into whatever's controlling the fan to see. But you know, if you can get the schematic for it, of course that'll tell you.
There are other options. I can jury-rig it to either go on with the power or with the transmit 12-volt line.
Are you talking about some software setting that you can control the fan? Some of the newer rigs may have a menu screen that tells you, and I'm not sure, I'm just mentioning it, where you can set up the fan to work different ways in different configurations. Is that what you're saying? Or were you talking about something that you want to hardwire yourself?
The latter. To jury-rig some kind of a hardwire so the fan is on more than it was designed.
It's possible what I just said could be true, and I don't recall seeing that
I'll have to think back, but there could be a menu setting where you can tell the fan what to do and when to do it. That could be something that's incorporated into the radio. I don't know, because I'm not familiar with it. But I'm just saying that. And it may be software controlled.
All right. I will look into that. But really, the first thing I wanted to do is see if I can just get access to a little MOS connector and put 12 volts across the fan and see if the fan is working or not. Now, I am pretty sure I can get a replacement fan from Amazon. It's a basic micro muffin fan, and it wouldn't have to go any further. But, yeah, if the fan is okay, then I have to dull them down deeper.
Yeah, some fans, you know, some of these cheap fans are made, whatever country they're made in, they can go bad. Because we have fans at work in equipment that runs 24/7, and some of them have failed over time. So, but yeah, look into that. Look at the book. Look at the menu screen. See if it says anything about fan settings. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if there's something. Then again, I would. You would think that maybe the fan would just have its own thermostat. So, but to answer your question, taking the cover off and looking around.
That was the major question, because some of these rigs, I'm afraid, are not very serviceable, but if you're saying don't worry about it, then I'll give it a try and we'll see where it takes me.
Come in.
Okay, somebody made a comment. I'll just get you. Don't do what I did once. I took a motor gear assembly apart, and there was a certain sequence in doing so. But under the anxiety of me taking it apart, figuring that I could just take the screws out and the cover off without actually reading the sequence, all of a sudden, as soon as I took the cover off, a spring-loaded mechanism popped out, and who knows where it went, where it came from. And it was only after that fact, true story, that I said, well, why did this happen? Until I read the instructions on disassembly, and then it gave you the procedure. Otherwise, it said that parts may fly out and you wouldn't know where they went. So, yeah, and it happens. Go ahead, comment.
Hello, gentlemen. KB2KNH. Yes, I've had that happen numerous times, and usually I can figure out where they go, but... I just came in when you were already into the conversation. I believe Ed said it was only 6 months old. Isn't the warranty a year or more with Yaesu?
True, but I'm not sure I want to go down that rabbit hole either.
To 90% noise the whole transmission, but I got that you didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. I've got lots of fans, but mine are all 24 volts, but you're welcome to look through them if you're going to the picnic. I got to jump out and do another service call, guys, but I just wanted to jump in and say hello. Kitties, you can't itch. Oh, where am I? Let me just get out of here. I'll leave it to you.
Okay, all right, Charlie, I'll see you next week. And, I just pulled into my stop, and Ed, you're very noisy where you are. You're in a bad spot. I'm going to be leaving the car now, but I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Let me wait to see you. you're talking about. I throw it away.
Thank you so much.
Zip, no copy on that.
WV2EAV is on from the house now and listening.
KG2RY listening. QRZ KG2RY listening.
KG2RY, KD2OGB Mobile. What's going on, David?
KD2OGB Mobile from KG2RY. I'm sitting outside the cafe. I'm having some yogurt with some kind of nuts, dried fruit, and there's strawberries in there. I think also some grapes. Very tasty. And a coffee, iced coffee, very, how to say, it was well made. I enjoyed it pretty much. I'm done with it. And stay here for another couple of minutes and then I'll head out to the next thing. I hope you're having a great day. How are you?
Well, kind of miserable. I should have drove to Hillside to drop off my parking permit and I ended up driving to Hicksville. And so I couldn't see my friends at New Hyde until like 2:30, which is where I am now. And I am going to Applebee's to have a little lunch. But, yeah, you're already making me hungry. I'm thinking of probably picking up either a steak or a burger there.
QSL Craig, sounds great, sounds great. You know, this morning, was it late morning, I think it was first.